Welcome to this episode of the Payments Show podcast. My name is Satwant Phul, and today I will be speaking to Samuel McCulloch, who is the Director of Business Development at Realty. Realty is a new digital platform based on the Ethereum blockchain, which enables investors around the world to buy US property and enjoy passive rental income. Enjoy the episode. Samuel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sat. How's it going? Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Really great to have you on. Looking forward to our conversation. So Samuel McCulloch is the Director of Business Development at Realty in the US. And Realty is a new platform based on the Ethereum blockchain, which enables investors around the globe to buy US property and enjoy passive rental income. So Sam, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Realty and how it innovates in the area of people that want to invest in property.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm Director of Business Development at Realty, and we are democratizing access to real estate. And what that really means is that for foreign investors who, and also US investors, maybe not so for US, but especially for foreigners, buying houses or buying homes or any sort of property in the United States is a laborious process. You're either stuck trying to find a single property that you're able to purchase, or you're having to invest your money into a REIT or some sort of real estate fund. And there hasn't been a great way to bridge that process up until recently when we came along. There's a few other companies that aren't including any blockchain stuff, but what we do with Realty is really special, right? In that for as little as $50, a person can come and invest into US property and they become a full equity owner of that property. They are put onto the ownership record and they own a small fraction of that property which they've purchased. And that gives them all of the ownership rights, like being able to draw the income that is gained from rentals, or also being able to vote on certain things like the property management or what to do with the house in general. So this is kind of like the ownership side, but then the benefits of us actually being on Ethereum is that we can do some really cool stuff with dividend disbursement. And then the token itself, we can do some very cool things by placing it into what are called decentralized financial applications or DeFi applications, which exist on Ethereum, which essentially allow the token to be bought, sold, lended, and leveraged without using any bank or intermediaries. And it's all done pretty much instantaneously.
Okay. So if I got this right, so let's say I'm 21 years old, I've got, I don't know, $10,000 saved up, nowhere near enough for a $200,000-$300,000 house. I can invest $1,000 in a property, right? So I can get ownership of a piece of a house or an apartment. Is that, I mean, they're the things you sell, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we're doing, so we have, when we offer a house, we are a US company doing a regulated US securities offering. And so this is broken down into one of two parts. So if you're a accredited US investor, we're able to offer property through what's known as a Reg D exemption. And if you're a non-US investor, then we can do a Reg S exemption offering. And what this allows us to do is essentially do a securities offering, which we are not it just allows us to work a bit faster and through this rule set that the SEC has set up to allow for securities issuance. And so for yourself, you'd be considered a Reg S investor. And this means that there's no income qualifications, and that with your $10,000, you could come to the Realty platform and purchase property. And right now we have property that's selling for like $150 that you could buy. Let's see, that would be what, like 20 tokens or something. And you know, with those about 40 or 50 tokens, and with those 40 or 50 tokens, then you're gaining the income stream that comes from the rental income that's derived from the house. And the tokens are equalized across all of the investors that are purchasing them. So even if you buy one versus 20 or 100, you're getting the same return as everyone else. And this is actually very cool. So our returns that we pay out, they're done with a digital stablecoin. And this is really important in that we're able to pay out our dividends every single day. So we, instead of paying it out on a monthly basis or a biannually basis or quarterly, we can normalize the payments over the entire year, and then we can pay out a small amount every single day. And this has been really interesting and very powerful, I think, for our company, because when I think a lot of people have reservations about cryptocurrencies and about maybe owning something on the blockchain. You don't really know what the company is on the other side. You may have low trust in their ability to actually say what they mean in their legal documents, or if they're able to actually deliver. So by making a conscious choice to deliver dividend payments every single day, it really creates the idea within our clients that we're a real company and we're actually delivering an income stream. And it's not just something that you get once a month or once a quarter, but it's every single day. So for $10,000, that nets, most of our properties are in the double digit returns right now. So if you were to invest $10,000, you'd be getting roughly around $1,000 every single year. And then you divide that by 12, that's about $80 a month. So really, if for a $10,000 investment, you would be getting enough stablecoin purchases directly to your wallet that you'd be able to go out and, you know, buy a few coffees a week, or, you know, buy lunch or do some other stuff. And this is pretty cool. I mean, I don't think anybody's been able to do this before. Before we had access to these very cool stable coins called either DAI or USDC, which we have access to now. And this is something that is really a game changer for us.
Yeah. You're using a cryptocurrency that is linked one for one with the US dollar, basically, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So there are a couple different types of stable coins. So our preferred one is called DAI. And DAI is it's the native currency to Ethereum. So let's take a step back. Ethereum itself is a public permissionless blockchain that creates a trustless, public permissionless, and allows for trustless transactions between parties. And this is pretty cool. You can do some fun stuff with it. When we talk about stable coins, the stable coin that we use preferably is called DAI, and that is a dollar pegged stable coin that is derived from Ethereum through some interesting smart contracts that allow for dollar generation through debt collateralization. So essentially, you're taking the asset, which is ETH, which is an extremely volatile asset, and then you're using a code to lock up the value in there, much like you would with a home loan. So if your home is worth $100,000, typically you can take a home equity line of credit from that home for $30,000 or maybe even up to $60,000. You'll have a maximum loan to value ratio, which you have to maintain. And if the valuation of the house drops below a certain point, you are met with a margin call and you have to meet that margin call. It's the same thing with this dollar generation, is that you have your asset. If you have $100,000 of ETH, you can generate up to $60,000 in DAI from it. And if the price of ETH declines, then at some point, you need to either put more money in, put more ETH in, to increase your margin limit, or you're going to get the margin call. And so we can get these very cool stable dollars from it. However, because of the market volatility within the last month, with ETH dropping by 50% in just a couple of weeks, we've switched to another stable coin, which is called USDC. And this is issued by Circle. And Circle is a financial institution that provides a one-to-one dollar-backed stablecoin called USDC. And this allows for seamless onboarding from the traditional fiat world into the crypto world. And this is done through Coinbase. So if you open up a Coinbase account,
yep,
you can onboard your dollars into your Coinbase account. And then they will do a feeless one-to-one generation of USDC on the Ethereum blockchain. And so you can have a, and these are all, this is all dollar backed as well too. So since Circle is a regulated company, every single dollar that they issue is has a one-to-one dollar.
There's a real US dollar backing it.
Yes, yes. It has one-to-one US dollar backing it in an account somewhere that can be called upon in case you need it. You can actually cash out your USDC into dollars. So it's very cool. Okay. It's they're doing some amazing stuff with this. So once we're in USDC or DAI, there's a whole world of possibilities that open up. So the stablecoins themselves or any Ethereum token is divisible down by anywhere between 8 to 18 digits. And so this allows us to make micropayments to our customers. And so let's say you have that $1,000, which we were talking about, or even $1,000 investment, right? You would be making $100 a year. Yeah, like $8 a month. Now, if we divide that up into 30 days, you're getting less than a couple of cents every single day. So normally this transaction, if you're going to do a micro payment like this with traditional payment rails, it just wouldn't work. You couldn't use PayPal or any other different traditional fiat payment processor to do these micropayments. But with Ethereum, we can do these micropayments for an extremely low cost amount of transaction fees. So we send out our daily dividend payments, and we're sending out a $150 to maybe 200 different addresses, and we'll probably pay a dollar for that. And we eat that up as a company because it's fine for us. It doesn't really, we're providing a service for our clients. We're happy to provide that. So the micropayment aspect was something that didn't exist before. And it's something that's only enabled by us being on Ethereum. Or else, because if we didn't have it, we would only be able to do quarterly or biannual disbursements to be able to meet that minimum level of dividend disbursement for traditional payment processors.
Sure.
Yeah.
So how long has Realty been around, and what markets do you have properties in?
Right. So we've been around 18 months. We only have one market so far, which is Detroit. Our two founders have a very large real estate portfolio, and we could add on a bunch more properties tomorrow in a bunch of different cities. But we wanted to be somewhere where we could offer high income generating properties right at the beginning. So typically when you're investing in property, you're either looking for capital appreciation or you're looking for income generation. And so we chose the latter to address those things, which I was talking about earlier in the podcast about wanting to be able to provide a significant return through dividend disbursement. And if we had chosen a capital appreciation property, you know, that's something that you're putting money into and you're maybe not looking to get any money back until the price appreciates, you know, 3 to 5 years later, or even 10 years later. So that it just would have been harder for us to show that we're a legitimate business model. So by sticking to properties that have a higher cap rate, higher dividend disbursement rate, then it allows us to kind of show that we work as a business. And then from there, we can transition into other different types of real estate investing that people do.
Sure. So if somebody were to decide, okay, I want to invest $5,000. You know, how is that sign up process? Is it easy to get that USDC currency to you? Can you explain the process?
Yeah. When somebody comes to the website, it's like coming to any e-commerce website. You come, you see a marketplace with available properties. We do a IP check on your computer to see if you're based in the United States, because you know, we need to ensure that we're only offering certain properties to qualified investors. So if you're a US-based person, then we can only offer you these certain properties. And if you're non-US, then we can only offer these certain properties. So once we segment you by IP, then you can come in and choose the property that you want to buy. And it's really simple. You just add to cart and then go to the checkout process. So the checkout process you have two options right now. So we're working with PayPal, and we're also working with Coinbase Commerce. And PayPal allows us to have our traditional fiat rails, and Coinbase Commerce allows us to have our crypto rails. And there's a huge difference between them. You know, we like taking mostly crypto just because the fees are so much lower. Nobody in the office is a fan of PayPal. It is, they're vampire bloodsuckers, but they're the only yeah. option we have. And yeah. this is something that we're exploring as a company. Long-term for our business, there's no way that we could not scale with PayPal. It just is impossible. So we're exploring different ideas and opportunities that would allow us to break away from them and have different payment solutions that would be able to do the same thing that PayPal's doing, but with less fees.
Sure. So let's say we've got somebody who has never bought cryptocurrency, Bitcoin or anything, mm-hmm. And they decide, okay, well, I'm going to use this as my opportunity to do my first crypto transaction of any kind, right? So correct me if I'm wrong. My assumption would be, let's say I'm in Australia, right?
Right.
I've never bought any crypto. Would I open an account at a cryptocurrency exchange? And then if I buy Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever, once I've got that, I would then change that into USDC to then buy the property in your shopping cart? Or is it even easier than that?
So Coinbase Commerce allows us to choose the cryptocurrencies that we receive, that we will receive in. So right now you can pay with Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, and DAI, USDC, and one other one. So two of those are stable coins, and the rest of them are highly liquid,
sure.
or at least liquid enough cryptocurrencies that we can accept for our business payments and not have too much slippage. Coinbase Commerce is great. They charge a flat 50 basis point fee, which is very good. It's near instant. So once we get the payment into our wallet, we can process it immediately. So we receive all these different types of crypto into our Coinbase Commerce wallet. And then once or twice a week, we have to convert everything then into a dollar denominated asset, just so we're not open to the volatility risk that comes with taking in large amounts of Bitcoin or Ethereum. So yep. we use dollars at our company, and yep. I love dollars. I think they're great. yeah. And I like cryptocurrencies as well too, but cryptocurrencies can be volatile. And yep. so, you know, at the end of the day, while we would like to use them more, we do have to convert to dollars.
Yeah.
And then we can use that to make our business payments. So.
Sure. Okay. One last aspect of the solution. So, you know, when you go to your website, there's a price of a house, typically. You've got the token price. Right now, I'm looking at a house in Detroit. It's $72,000. The token price is $60.50. And it's giving an annual return of 9.94%, which is pretty amazing. And that works out to $8 a year for a token. So that's a $60 token. I'll get $8 a year back. You know, that's great on the face of it, because I mean, I personally am not a big fan of buying properties, although I have no issues investing in property. And you mentioned earlier REITs. So that's how I've invested in property in the past. So let's say I bought this token and in a year's time, I need the money. So this is why I love this platform, because if you need to sell a house in an emergency, that's, you know, unless the market's up, you don't want to be doing that, right? If I wanted to sell my tokens in a house, what kind of timelines are we talking about of selling these tokens? And you're quite a young business, so have people even done that yet? Or, you know, how does that work?
There's a couple of things. I just want to address one issue that I don't think I covered earlier, is that, like, right now you have to have some understanding of what Ethereum is and set up an Ethereum wallet before you purchase our tokens. In a week or 2 weeks, we're going to have a new solution where you only have to enter your email, and we create a Ethereum wallet in the back end for you. And okay. then we can have all of the choices about when to sell or buy or send off your dividend disbursements. That will be done through our platform, and you won't even know that you're using Ethereum. So we can onboard a whole new type of client who have never used crypto before. That's one of the things that we're getting at. So when it comes to buying and selling the token, right now we have, when you purchase the token, you're holding the token and you get a small amount of dollars to your Ethereum wallet every single day. Once those dollars get to your Ethereum wallet, they're yours. You can choose whatever you want to do with them, whenever you want to do with it. There's no restrictions. It's your money that you can then take and do whatever you want. So if you have that $1,000 and you've accumulated $10 in DAI or USDC over the course of like a month or two, I mean, you can take that off and just go spend it wherever you want to or cash it out. There's no restrictions, which is pretty cool. It's like getting it straight to your bank account. As for the property tokens itself, right now, there are two ways to sell the tokens. The first is through a decentralized market making platform called Uniswap, which allows for instant buying and selling. So there's no wait. And sometimes there's even a premium on where you bought the tokens from. And then the other way is back through our website. So we purchase the tokens back and then we find new buyers for those tokens. We charge a 1.5% fee to do that purchase back into our company. That works out pretty well. So when you buy a property, you can only hold that property. So we have 8 properties that we've sold on our website, but to be an owner of each of those 8 properties, you must have purchased at least 1 token of those properties. It's just the way that our legal structure works right now. We're working on a way that you could that we can globally whitelist pretty much everybody. Because this matters a lot further down once we get into some of our newer technology that we're going to roll out in the next 3 to 6 months. So it's important to be able to have access to all the properties. But right now, let's say you buy, we have a house called, or a multifamily home called Appline. Yeah. When you buy 1 Appline token, you get whitelisted to be able to purchase the entire set of tokens. Now, whether you'll be able to do that, that's up to you. But at the same time, you then have full access to that property. But for another property like Marlowe, which was our first house, unless somebody sells their tokens back to us and then you purchase one of those tokens, which has been sold back, you don't have access to those houses right now. So that is something that we're working on and that we want to change so that you can have global access to all of our homes.
So I'm confused why there's an issue. Sorry, if a whole bunch of investors own all of the tokens for a certain property, well, it makes sense that you can't buy the token. So maybe I'm missing something here. What's the issue?
Let me just take a step back. So each of our homes gets a set of tokens. So Appline, which I mentioned before, has 4,000 tokens. Marlowe has 1,000 tokens. Audubon has 1,000 tokens. So they each have their own set of tokens.
Yep.
And each set of tokens represents the total fractional set of equity ownership in that house. So if Appline has 4,000 tokens, that means that by owning one of those tokens, you're a 1/4,000th owner of that home. Actually, you are that owner. We have an 80-page PPM, which states out all the risks. And it also says that if you own this token, you're a 1/4,000th owner of the house. Yeah. So if you acquire all 4,000 tokens, it's your home. You have 100% ownership. You can decide whatever you want to do with it at that point.
Okay.
And you become you have full ownership rights by holding all those tokens. So the way that the company works as in this higher level structure, right, is that we have an LLC, and the LLC is just a legal abstraction of the company itself. So if we write in the rules that say that, you know, one token represents 1/4,000th of a ownership in this LLC, which each house has its own series LLC, then it becomes a abstracted fact that owning one token is owning 1/4,000th ownership in this LLC. By doing that, we can then abstract away the LLC, and then the token itself becomes the ownership, which you then can hold, you can trade, you can buy and sell, and soon to be, you'll be able to do some lending and leveraging with.
Nice. So your plans in future as a company are to get commercial and residential, or mainly focusing on residential right now?
Well, we want to do everything, right? We want to do the whole real estate sales cycle. So this would be taking a property that needs refurbishment and raising initial capital to do the refurbishment, and then having those investors be bought out by new investors who are owning it as either income generating platform or for capital appreciation. Sure. We're going to have commercial property. You know, right now, it's obviously we're in a global pandemic, and it's made us kind of reassess a lot of the properties that we had been planning to release. Before the COVID outbreak, we had a property in Chicago that had it was a mixed use property. So the downstairs was a photo shop. and the upstairs was a residential unit. Mm-hmm. But with the onset of the pandemic, the downstairs commercial space is closed. So we didn't want to take that risk of putting our clients in a bad position where, you know, we sell these tokens to them and all of a sudden they're not generating the expected returns that we thought they would. So
sure.
We want to ensure that our clients are and our token holders are getting good properties, which, you know, we as a company have done a very in-depth checks to see that it meets our standards, right? Because it's super easy to get it, to find property. I probably get 2 to 3 offers a day from people around the country who want to sell property through us, but it's a very difficult process to be able to vet those properties and to make sure that they meet the standards for our token holders. Because as a young company, we don't want to provide anything that would negatively affect our image or our brand, or people that would think poorly of us. Yep. Think that, oh, okay, they're just moving, you know, they're just flipping properties onto us, or they're just trying to dump somebody else's crap onto us. We don't want that. We want the highest quality standard of properties that you can find in the market anywhere in the United States.
Excellent.
And so that's why you can see with our offerings in Detroit, they're great offerings. They're giving double digit returns, and that's net fees as well too. And even better. Exactly.
Actually, there was one question I forgot to ask you about the tokens. So you said if somebody wanted to sell their tokens, they could sell it back to you, the realty company. But you said there's also a marketplace.
Uniswap.
Is that a marketplace where other things can be purchased as well, or is it owned by realty?
Okay, so this is where we kind of jump into the more advanced things that you can do with Ethereum. Ethereum has a bunch of decentralized applications, which nobody controls. They're just technical lines of code, which are put on this public blockchain, which nobody controls. And they allow for some very interesting things to be done. So Uniswap is special because nobody controls it. And it's a decentralized market making platform. So the way that it works is, let's say you buy $10,000 worth of realty tokens. You come to Uniswap and you as the token holder create the market for other people. So you pick two currencies to be paired together. Let's just say it's the dollar and realty tokens. And so you put up equal amounts. You put up $10,000 worth of realty tokens and $10,000 worth of whatever stablecoin dollar, crypto dollar that you have. Now when other people come and then buy and sell that, they adjust the supply of each asset. And when those supplies are adjusted, either up or down, so let's say people come and buy more realty tokens, the supply of realty tokens goes down and the supply of dollars goes up. So that means that there's more dollars for less tokens. So that means the price goes up. So Uniswap allows for automatic and algorithmically price-determined markets to be created without a traditional two-sided auction taking place. And it also allows for you as the person who's providing liquidity to earn a small amount of fees for every single trade that goes through. So you earn 30 basis points of fees for every trade that happens on Uniswap, which is also super cool. So it allows for our token holders to create their own markets where the token holders themselves can trade amongst themselves. And there's no one from the outside who's not whitelisted through our website who can trade those tokens. So it's only the people who have bought the tokens before that can trade with them.
Right. So unlike traditionally owning a house where you can only really realize the gain from rental income or selling it. So this technology allows people to make money in many more ways than just, you know, either the capital or the rental.
Yes. And then also on selling the tokens back to us as the company, what we do is once a year, we have a independent third-party assessor who is hired to go out and provide a new valuation for the house. And so that valuation then becomes the benchmark, which we then price the tokens at. So our first house, Marlowe, is coming up soon. We'll have a third-party assessor goes out, provides a new valuation, and then that becomes essentially the floor. Because when we as a company buy back the tokens from our users, we use that valuation as the price that we're purchasing tokens back at.
Excellent. The first time I ever heard of blockchain being used with property was in 2018. I saw an article on, I think it was CNBC. So Kevin O'Leary, I think he's one of the sharks. There was an article about him wanting to buy a New York hotel. It was $400 million. And he was going to basically fund it through a crypto coin offering. So that's the first I ever heard of it personally. Now, I don't know what happened with that hotel in the end. I couldn't find any information online about it. And then you guys are the next thing I've heard about this. So there's been a big gap in between. So have you seen a lot of activity in this area where blockchain payment technology is being linked to real estate? Or is it still, you know, fairly rare?
This kind of dives into it's not just real estate, because this comes into a broader idea of creating securities on a public blockchain and what that actually means. So last year, there was a huge amount of, in 2018 as well too, people just talked about securities are coming to crypto, securities you'll be able to trade. Every type of security is going to come to Ethereum because it offers traceability and transparency and all these other things. Too many buzzwords, right? But when you get down to it, there are some key aspects of identifying why you would want to tokenize a security and put it onto Ethereum. Because if you're just tokenizing something and then putting it on Ethereum, it doesn't really make any sense. Because if it's just going to exist on Ethereum and it's going to be a record of the ownership rights, or, you know, even doing dividend disbursement through Ethereum is only half getting at why you would want to be on Ethereum in the first place, or any public blockchain in the first place. There's already established great technology to do ownership and accounting and all different types of reconciliation and dividend disbursements that you don't need a blockchain for. And so for probably 90% of those reasons that I just mentioned, you don't need a blockchain. And the reason that you do need a blockchain is to use all the fun things that exist on Ethereum that are being built that just turn your tokens that we're selling into toys and give them really superpowers, right? So that thing with Uniswap that I talked about, there's nowhere else in the entire world where you can be a market maker for securitized tokens, for securities, where you can market make your own securities. It doesn't exist. And some of the other things that are coming soon, one of the things, our big goal for 2020 is to figure out how we can get our token into what's called the Maker contract. And Maker is the issuer of the DAI stablecoin, which I talked about before. So right now they have two cryptocurrencies that you can use. You can use Ethereum and Basic Attention Token. And this allows you to create these collateralized debt positions where you're locking up your Ethereum or locking up your BAT and getting these synthetic dollars from it. What we want to get to in the next year is to be able to take your Realty tokens, or a basket of Realty tokens that you have a token representing them, and then take that token, put it into Maker and get synthetic dollars back, and to be able to instantly leverage your property without any intermediaries.
Right.
So if for any other securitized tokens that are existing on Ethereum, if they're not pursuing these goals of trying to be able to fully integrate with decentralized financial applications, they're never going to work and nobody's ever going to use them, because they have zero value if you don't integrate into the DeFi apps which are being built on Ethereum. People will just, they just won't use them, because existing structures and existing technology systems are amazing and they're great and they work and they have for decades now. So there's no, without having something that's 10 times better or just is novel and unique, nobody's ever going to just put securities on a blockchain, because there's almost no point to do it. But when you can build it into DeFi, then a whole world of cool things opens up.
Okay. So I'm just trying to think of an example. Can you perhaps give one before I can think of one? So you own 10 grand's worth of Realty tokens in a property. Mm-hmm. You go to the marketplace. Now, I'm some random person. Why would I go to that marketplace, and what would I do with your token, and why?
It's going to work a little bit different. So what we're building is using one property and then just creating, taking a home equity line of credit essentially from that one property is too complicated on a bigger scale. So let's say we have 100 properties and we're trying to derive the LTV ratios for 100 different properties to get these synthetic dollars from. It just doesn't work. What we're building at the moment is a way for us to basket your properties. So let's say we can create a basket of, say, 8 or 16 or 64 different properties that go into this big basket. And then from that basket, we can create a token which represents an equal share of all of those tokens. Okay. So now we've just created a diversified portfolio of property, which carries less risk and is easier to use than just the individual properties themselves. With that basket token, we then can go to Maker or whatever other DeFi application that we want to. And now we have a token which can be used for lending. So if you want to borrow against it, or if you want to leverage with it, or buy and sell or trade it, it doesn't really matter. The important thing is that we've de-risked and we've simplified our portfolio into one single token that then can be used in all the different apps, because it's going to be too complicated to try to get 100 properties or even 8. It's super complicated. It just doesn't work. It's so much work for people that the other teams that want to integrate us. So we make it easy for them by just having one. So if you're buying tokens now, in the future, you'll be able to put it into this basket. So you can take your 10 tokens of Appline, drop them into the basket, and then you get your kind of basket token back, which is still represents $1,000, but then you can take that off and you can use it in any of the cool Ethereum apps that you want to.
So let me put it to another way. I think I mentioned before, I've invested in REITs in the past, or buying stocks, mm-hmm. right? You just buy them on your brokerage account. What you're basically saying is that in some ways, if we get to that basket of properties, in some ways it will be like a stock. And in the same way that you can do trading on stocks, you kind of be able to do a similar thing here, right?
Yes. I don't know what the exact terminology of what that basket of individual properties would be called, whether it's a fund token or a... I'm not exactly sure what the legal name for that token would be. And this is, again, this is something that we're still working out on our side. And this is why it's going to take a quarter or two for us to get it all. Because most of our problems in issuing the token are not technological ones. Our process of issuing the tokens and then getting them integrated into existing DeFi apps, we're at like the bottom rung of complexity. All of our issues are mostly legal. And working with our legal side to find out what works and what doesn't work with existing securities regulation.
Sure.
And so,
but let's ignore that for a minute. Yeah. If we just pretend all the legal problems can go away, mm-hmm. right, instantly. I'm just trying to get for the listeners in their heads the difference between if we had a REIT, which is also a basket of properties paying out money.
Yeah.
You've got realty tokens, let's say it's 100 properties, that's paying out dividends. So we're still the same, right?
No. So a REIT is actively managed. You have a management company who's charging, I don't know, one basis point or 50 basis points to manage the portfolio of company or portfolio of properties inside that REIT. And also, typically, the REITs are leveraged. It's hard to find unleveraged REITs.
Okay.
Just because it makes more sense to be able to provide a higher rate of return for your investors if you leverage, even with a small amount. And so what we can build with this basket of tokens is an unleveraged portfolio token that is net fees everywhere. So these individual properties, there's no fees that are put on them post-issuance outside of just the property management fee, our fee on the gross income, and then one or two other things for insurance and a couple other things. After the property management fee is paid, insurance, and all the other fees that you can find on the website, there's no other cash flows from that token which are extracted. And so when you create this basket of individual properties into this property token, theoretically, it should be very efficient. There should be no other fees that are taken out of there. And so when you own that basket token, there's no management fee. It's essentially a passive fund almost, where it's a group of houses that are put together and then you get this fund token out of it. But by holding the fund token, you're just holding all the individual properties, which are getting their net dividend disbursements.
Yeah. Excellent.
I think it's probably, it's the best way to explain
it. You are effectively, this solution is cutting out a lot of unnecessary fees and costs not related to the actual management of the properties and the upkeep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is still significant, right? Over time, that's still significant.
We hope so. I mean, we have a very simplified cost structure of how these tokens get issued. So the company has a 10% tokenization fee, and then we take 2% of the gross rent, and that's it. Everything else is for hiring a property management company, for paying insurance, and any other taxes or fees that would typically be assessed on real estate. There's no other, once the token is issued, there's no other fees that get taken other than that.
Yeah. Thank you for that explanation. I know I asked quite a few questions, but I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the listeners as well as learning myself. So it's pretty comprehensive. So thank you for that. What do you see the biggest challenges right now in the property industry? You said that a lot of technology is good enough anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I just want to ask about the landscape of the property market right now and what are the biggest challenges you see in it?
I mean, for us as a company, right, I would say that trying to figure out a global payment processor that can work with higher risk businesses like ours, even though we're not high risk at all, I don't think, and charge a minimal amount of fees. That's something that it's really hard to find. There's companies in Europe that we've been looking at, like Uphold and a bunch of different banks, trying to figure out how we can do SEPA transactions, because technology rails exist for doing low fee, instant transactions in Europe and in parts of the United States, but it's hard to get access to them sometimes. Yeah. And so I know that for us, it's been my quest for a couple of months now, is to figure out how we can get our European clients instant SEPA transactions into our business. So we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody's going to come along and provide us with a good solution, but it hasn't been easy. PayPal isn't the answer, right? So for us to grow and scale as a company, we need to find a different payment processor that can grow with us, and then that is okay with our business model as well too.
I'm assuming you're saying that based on a customer that doesn't have crypto, because if they did, it's a non-issue, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, in a couple of weeks, maybe even by the time this is out, you won't have to have any idea of what Ethereum is. I mean, so all that cool stuff about the basket of tokens, that's for more advanced users. Like if you don't want to do that, and if you don't care about maximizing your leverage and borrowing against your token, then you can just hold the token like you would like any normal investment and just get your dividend disbursement from it and treat it exactly like that. But for our more advanced users, they'll be able to have access to all these tools.
Yeah. This podcast is aimed at business owners, right? Business execs. Mm-hmm. Wanting to improve payment experiences for their customers. If there's a real estate agent in Australia or the UK or anywhere listening to this, what would you say to them about why they should try and look at adopting this model? Because to people listening for the first time and not knowing anything about fractional ownership, they might be thinking, God, this sounds like a lot of work. For what? What's the upside for them?
Well, you get access to a wider group of investors. So our last property that sold out was a multifamily unit in Detroit called Fullerton. It was a several hundred thousand dollar property. And we had over 250 investors into that property from all over the world. And through our technology, building this technology platform, we're able to onboard them, issue this long PPM, which covers everything, and then replicate all of that for each individual investor very quickly and very rapidly so that we can make the syndication process, which essentially it is, a very smooth and easy process for our investors who are coming on. So if growing a international base of clients for your investment portfolio is something that's interesting for you, it's a great way to go.
And it also, and again, you can do those cool things like micropayments, which you wouldn't be able to do before. And that is something which I think is pretty cool. I mean, we think it's the right structure. I think it's very cool. I mean, this is where it gets me excited to come to work every day. And it makes our investors excited as well to have daily dividend disbursements. Nobody's doing that. It just allows for some cool ideas. We've had some cool people that take themselves out and they use their crypto debit card. You can essentially preload a debit card with crypto. And so they can just take their dividend disbursements and just spend on that, you know, once or twice a week with the money that they're getting from their investments.
Yeah. That's great.
Very cool. Yeah.
I made a video on one of my YouTube channels about a crypto payroll company. Mm-hmm. When I first found out about it, I was reading around the founder, you know, why he started it. He said, well, you know, first of all, why do we pay people monthly or every 2 weeks? It's because the cost, coming back to exactly what you said at the beginning, the cost of doing it any more frequently is high and the banking rails are just a pain. Yeah. And then he said, well, we can pay people by the minute or by the second now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it seems like both industries can take advantage of the same tech to do things in a way that just wasn't possible before.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, and we've looked at his implementation because we would love to be able to stream in real time the dividend disbursements, but it works a little bit differently. So when we do our transactions, it's a sent and then complete transaction within when it gets picked up by the block and then processed into the public blockchain. It's fully finalized at that very moment. But with the streaming transactions, the user has to go and take their income stream out, right? So instead of us sending it, they would have to come to us and pull their money out, which is, it's a little bit different structure.
Yeah.
But we did look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But I think even he was saying it's not possible right now, but he's just saying that this is where it's going.
Yeah. And the two biggest things that I think people miss about cryptocurrencies is, one, they enable very cool functionalities that we didn't have before, like streaming payments. But the more important thing is these micropayments, is that we can provide these very small, maybe less than a cent transactions to people globally for almost nothing. And as Ethereum moves into proof of stake, things will become even cheaper. You can do even more microtransactions. And this microtransaction opens up a huge amount of different types of businesses, because we never would have been able to do these daily disbursements had we not been able to do microtransactions.
Yeah.
And you know, we would have had to been on like a weekly or monthly basis like everybody else, but only on the Ethereum blockchain can we distribute our USD stablecoin to hundreds of property owners who may just be getting less than a cent a day. They're getting a tenth of a cent every single day, but at least they're getting it, and at least it's going into their wallet, and at least they're seeing this income stream coming in.
Yeah. So that was, look, we've covered quite a lot and in detail. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Want to move towards the end and some lighter things. But before I do, is there anything I've missed which you think is very important to share with listeners?
So I've been in the crypto space since 2017, right? I was a equity and options trader before.
Yeah.
And I worked for a bunch of companies in 2017, just doing some consulting. And then in 2018, I came on board to a crypto exchange and worked there for about 2 years. So I've seen the whole gamut of companies come through trying and saying big things about the goals that they're trying to achieve. But, you know, Realty is one of the few companies that is actually delivering, that has a working product, that is delivering income streams to its clients today, and also is not just saying they're going to do it in 6 months to a year, but actually has live tokens that exist today and that are usable within Ethereum's DeFi ecosystem.
Yeah.
And there is nobody else out there. We are the only tokenized security that can do that today.
Yeah.
And so I think that says a lot in trying to work through all of the just hot air that was in this industry from 2017, even up until now, trying to work through all that and seeing the real companies doing real things. I'm super impressed. I mean, that's why I came on and joined the company in the first place. It's just our leadership team is, you know, we want to show results and not just talk up a big storm of words about the huge problems we see in the world and what we're trying to solve. No, we want to provide actual working products for our clients so that they can go use them today. And that's what we've done. And I'm super proud to work for Realty because of that.
Real action, not just white papers.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So where can people find out more information about you guys? I mean, I don't know when this lockdown is going to end, but do you attend property conferences? You know, what kind of events can people meet you at?
Yeah. So we went to conferences before. We had been planning to go to a bunch in this year. We're going to go to Consensus and Ethereal, and we had a bunch of other conferences planned, but they're all canceled now. So if you can come down to Florida and you can come say hello to me in my house, but I don't know when we're going to be back in the office, and I don't know when we're going to be traveling again. We have Discord and we have Telegram, and I'm always happy to take a Zoom call and people can come and chat with me. Same thing for David as well too. We're always here. We're pretty.
And who's David? Sorry.
David's our COO.
Okay.
So we're both pretty public about ourselves, and we try to speak as much as possible just about the industry that we're working in. So I'm happy to talk to anybody. I mean, that's what I do, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, absolutely. No, thank you so much. It's it's been great, really, really informative. And one last mm-hmm. question, but especially now, I normally just ask this for fun, but now especially as we're all locked in, what is your favorite money movie?
What's the movie with John Candy, and they're on the stock exchange? They know that there's going to be some huge move in the price of oranges in the next couple of days.
Was that Trading?
I forget the name of it.
It wasn't
what?
It wasn't Trading Places.
Is it Trading Places? Yeah, I think it's Trading Places.
Yeah, it's Trading Places. I think it's Trading Places.
It is.
Yeah. Orange Juice Futures. Is,
exactly, Orange Juice Futures. It's a great movie, and it's lighthearted, and it's so. I think that there's a problem. There's a problem with like modern like money movies. So it's either trying to steal money from a bank, right, or something. Or like Wolf of Wall Street, that's like, I don't think it's very, it's not helpful to show what actual finance is like. It's pretty boring, and it's a lot of contracts, and like those type of people are not the type of people that you want in the space, right? Because they're just grifters. So I don't know. I mean, I
do enjoy Billions in terms of the TV series. I think Billions is great. I haven't seen the latest. I haven't seen the latest season though.
I've never seen Billions before. I'm not a huge TV person. I try to read a bit more. I think the better question is like, you know, what sort of content have you been reading during the, or like consuming during the lockdown?
So one awesome book that I bought on Audible was by Harry mm-hmm. Markopoulos. He wrote a book called Nobody Listened. So do you know Harry Markopoulos? So he was the one that uncovered the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme.
Mm.
I mean, listening to that book was like binge watching a Netflix season or something. Like I just couldn't stop listening to it because it's just open jawed for most of the time. Just couldn't believe that nobody gave a damn about any reports that he sent in that he was a whistleblower. Yeah. He even went to other states to get the SEC departments in other states to take it upon themselves, but they had inter-agency rivalry. So, I mean, it was just unbelievable. I highly recommend that book.
I'll have to go check it out. I'm reading Atomic Habits at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a great book. I'd recommend that one to anyone who wants to kind of reassess why they want to change.
Yeah.
It's a great book.
So, excellent.
Both myself and David have podcasts as well too. David's is called POV Crypto. Mine's called End of the Chain. I don't have a focus. I just talk to people. David covers mostly crypto stuff, and we're here. We write a lot. David has a bunch of writing that he's done about Realty, which we'll share in the show notes. We've got a bunch of stuff that we can share about Realty in the show notes as well too. And you can find us on Telegram or Discord. We're always there. I do customer service. I'm replying to customers pretty much all day. So you can reach out to us at any time, and we're always here. We can answer questions.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed that. And
yeah,
love to get you back in the future to get an update.
Yeah, thank you, Sat. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Take it easy. Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes and subscribe to The Payments Show on your favorite podcast app. If you would like to accept payments faster in your company, please head over to digitalmoneylab.com where you can find more information. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.